Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith coming by hearing. And hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right. Now, before we get into our lesson, I know we're already there, but just check your neighbor. Make sure that they look like they're not halfway sleepy, all right? Just make sure that they look like they're wide awake, smile. If they're smiling, that means they're awake. Are they smiling? All right, Jeremiah 29 and 11. We're in our series entitled Keys to Winning in Life. The writer says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." In the KJV, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, they're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." There's another translation that says, "Plans to prosper you." So we see that God very much has plans. First of all, we see number one, that God very much has us on his mind, that he thinks thoughts towards us, and he has plans for us, and there are plans for good and not for evil, plans for good and not for disaster, to give us a future and a hope. Plans to prosper us in every area of our lives. And so we understand that that is ultimately the will of God for our lives. Last week we read 2 Corinthians 2 and 14 says, "Now thanks be unto God, which not sometimes but always causes us to triumph in Christ. To the degree we do it God's way, we are going to get God results." There's a when I was really praying about what I wanted to talk about this week, last week was a good lesson, but it was kind of one of them buckle up your seatbelts and get ready to ride kind of a lessons. You got it. And and those are just some. How many of you just have to have tough lessons sometime? You got it. And but man, it's amazing the overwhelming response of people that I had that came up to me and just, you know, or inboxed me and really said, you know, "Pastor, I love any time you teach and that kind of thing, you know, but I'm glad that you taught that. Yeah, that was a little tough, but I needed that." And so and we talked a little bit, not much, but a little bit about how we don't have time for foolishness in life, that we really have to focus. You got it. If you remember, I made the statement that you have to grow up before you go up, right? Because everyone's talking about going to the next level and catapulting in God and doing this and doing that. But how many know it's only to the degree that we really walk out God's word, mature in God, you got it, start doing his things his way so we can get results in his life. David made a comment. He says, you know, "When I was a child, I talked as a child. I thought as a child. I acted like a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things." And how many know that as we grow older, there's things that we have to put away? Does that make sense? There's some things that you did when you was in your 20s that you shouldn't be doing when you were in your 30s and your 40s and certainly not your 50s. Can I get a big... All right. And so if I'm going to give you a key today, the key to winning in life today would just be staying focused. I want to really hone in on that today and really just talk to you about staying focused. I'm going to ask them to put my definition of focus up on the screen so you'll understand exactly where we're going. Focus is the ability to stay on track with the plan of God for your life. And I just showed you that God has a plan for your life in Scripture, right? It's staying consistently faithful. Consistently what? Faithful, functioning according to purpose, talking about God's purpose and his plan, what the word is, without being distracted. And how many know that there are so many distractions in life and they can come from so many different ways, right? That is why the writer says, "I have to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith." And so I have to make sure that at the end of the day, no matter what's going on in my life, that no matter how many distractions there are, no matter, you know, how many ways that they're coming from, to the degree that I keep my focus on Christ, I keep my focus on the word and only do what the word of God says, how many know you're going to end up in a good place? Now, I want to give you real quick some enemies of focus. I'm not going to spend a long time on them because we'll kind of hit them as we go through the lesson. But as we talk about enemies to focus, the first enemy to focus is uncontrolled emotions. How many know that when your emotions are, you know, out of control, you will do anything, you will say anything, you will act any old kind of way? Y'all ain't saying amen, but I know I'm telling the truth. You got it. You know, how many know when your emotions are out of control, your flesh does things that you really probably don't want your flesh to do? right? Like flesh unchecked will cause you to go right back to the thing you were delivered from. Does that make sense? And so you have to make sure that I keep my emotions in control. And even if you are an emotional person, that doesn't make you a bad person. You got it? But not at all. But in certain areas, you got it, when opposition comes and you start, you know, feeling your blood boil and all you see is red, you got to have a plan for how am I going to control myself? How am I going to be able to keep myself together so that way I can still live out this, you know, this godly character that I know is on the inside of me. All right. So uncontrolled emotion. All right. Number two, your past. And, you know, and this is real easy for me. You got it? Because what's in the past is in the past, right? This is a new season. This is a new day. You can't worry about your past. You can't worry about people who know your past. You can't worry about the devil who tries to bring up your past. You have to just make sure that you focus on never allowing your past to bleed into your present or it'll pollute your future. How do I allow my past to bring, you know, to do this? Because it's when you start thinking on it and when you start bringing it up and you start wondering if God really forgave you. Like, my thing is either you're going to believe the Bible or you're not going to believe the Bible. If you have messed up and you went to God, the Bible says that he is faithful and just to forgive you for all of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So the moment that you ask God with the true heart of repentance to forgive you, he forgives you. He forgets about it. He throws it into the sea of forgetfulness to remember it no more. So even if you're still feeling bad about it and come back over to God and say, God, I'm sorry. God says, I don't know what you're talking about. Why? Because he is a sovereign God and he's forgotten anything concerning you when you ask him to forgive you. All right. Number three, everybody say number three. Number three, doubt and unbelief. You got it? And really, you have to learn how to just, you know, cancel doubt out immediately, because if you don't cancel doubt out or deal with doubt, it will turn into unbelief. And this just comes from things that didn't work out. This comes from negative people or thoughts that the enemy might try to plant in your mind. And that is why the writer says that when the enemy plants all these negative thoughts in your mind, you have to just cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the name and the knowledge of God. Watch this, hear me now, and bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And so I've got to watch this. When that negative thought comes, I have to say, oh, no, that's not the will of God for my life. You know, a thought comes, the doctor says he needs to see you again. And now a thought comes, you got cancer. The devil is a lie. I'm the healed, resisting sickness and disease. You got it? He took 39 stripes, and by his stripes, I'm already healed. You got it? You know, you're living in some fairy tale land. No, I'm walking this word out, and the same God that took water and turned it into wine, the same God that took two fish, you know, and five loaves and fed 5,000 is the same God that will heal my body from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. Does that make sense? All right, so uncontrolled emotions, your past, doubt and unbelief, and the last one is procrastination. Does anybody know what procrastination is, all right? Don't look at your neighbor, especially if you're married, all right? But procrastination is really just always putting things off. And one of the biggest things that we have to learn to do or to stop doing in life is wasting time. You got it. You just really have to. How many know time is important? Time is precious. And once you lose time, you can never regain time again. You can lose $100 a day and get $100 back tomorrow. But once you lose time, you can never get it back. So you have to learn how to not waste your time. You have to learn how to not waste people's time. And you have to learn not to allow people to waste your time. Does that make sense? And so you know, it's real important. Psalms 90 and 12 says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I'll kind of give it to you in an even simpler form. Teach us to understand the importance of life so we can focus on the right things. That's what the writer's saying. Teach us to understand the importance of life so we can focus on the right things. To get the most out of life, you must eliminate distractions and focus on what really matters. You got it? Because a lot of times in life, if we're not careful, we're focusing on things that don't matter. And the things that really do matter, we're not giving much time to. You got it? Big question. Everybody say big question. All right. I want you to think about this. If you only have 30 days to live, now, you know, I'm not confessing this on you or anything like that. We word of faith and we don't believe in that. But it's just a thought provoking thing. If you only have 30 days to live, what would you start doing and what would you stop doing? Like if you, now, I'm not talking about you sick. You understand what I'm saying? Let's just say, we know this is not possible, but let's just say the Lord has let you know I'm sending my son back, Jesus, in 30 days. You understand what I'm saying? Because we ain't even going the route of sickness and disease because that's not God's will. And God's not going to let you in on that because no man knows the time or the hour when the Son of Man shall return, right? But let's just say you found out that Jesus was on his way. You got it. You had 30 days to live. What would you start doing and what would you stop doing? I would submit to you the things that you would start doing that you're probably doing right now are the things that you need to start doing. You got it? And the things that you would stop doing are probably the things that you're doing right now that you don't need to be doing that you need to stop doing. Does that make any sense to anybody? You got it? And so, a lot of times we, you know, you don't realize until they turn 14 that time has just passed and your kids are old. And that's why you have to spend as much time with them as you can. You got it? Lady LaConte is with Hannah. She's at a horse show. You got it? And when she first kind of got into that, we're like, oh, man, she's going to miss some Sundays throughout the year. Well, our whole thing was, you know, whenever you guys have to miss on Sundays, we never fuss with y'all about anything. So we figure y'all realize we got little kids too, you understand? So this season of life, we want to make sure that we're allowing them to do the things that they want to do. Does that make sense? And so if it means, you know, does that make sense? Because my baby, at the end of this month, she turns 13. And if I had some kind of machine, even if I had to pay for it, that I could just make her six again, I would. But how many know life doesn't work like that? Does that make sense? But the key is developing a healthy relationship where they are right now. So when they are 18 and leave, you got it, that they will call and they will come back. Not to live, but you know, they will come back. My biggest goal, one of my biggest goals in life is Acts, the 10th chapter and the second verse. You got it? One of my biggest goals in life is Acts, the 10th chapter and the second verse. The Bible says, he and all, talking about Cornelius, he and all his family were devout and God-fearing. When you talk about devout, it means faithful. You got it? When you talk about God-fearing, it doesn't mean that you're scared of God. It means that you have a healthy respect for God. So the Bible says, he and all his family were devout, faithful, and God-fearing. Having a healthy respect, he gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. How many know everybody in the room should have that as one of the goals in their life? You got it? That I want to be faithful, that I want to have a healthy respect for God, that I want to be generous, and that I always want to pray to God. Amen? So let's jump into some things, you know, as it relates to focus and those kind of things. You know, Pastor Wood, then what do I do first? All right? You've got my attention so far, so good. The lesson seems pretty good, and you're only a few minutes into it. So, you know, you've got my attention. So what are the things I need to do? What do I need to do first? Well, all my points are going to start with the word turn, all right? Because we're going to have to turn some things into some things. And point number one, they'll put it on the screen. You have to turn when into now. You have to turn when into now. Everybody say stop procrastinating. All right, that was kind of good. And, you know, I told myself to kind of be easy on y'all because y'all lost an hour. You understand what I'm saying? But we're just going to try it one more time. Everybody say stop procrastinating. Yeah, all right. See, y'all are more woke than you think you are, all right? When I get my life together, I'll start coming to church. When I make more money, I'll start being generous. How many know it didn't work that way? When you start coming to church, God helps you put your life together. When you start being generous, you'll start receiving more. Does that make sense? When I get the chance, I will call and apologize for that thing I did. But don't put off, you got it, tomorrow what you can do today. When things slow down, I'll spend more time with my kids. They're going to be 17 and out the door. You got it. And so 2 Corinthians verse 6 and the latter part chapter 6 and the latter part of verse 2 says, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. What does that mean? Now is the time to experience God's favor. Now is the time to experience God's blessings. Now is the time for you to see the exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. Now is the time for you to really go to your next level. Now is the time for you to see something that you've never seen before. Now is the time that God really wants to blow your mind. Now is the time for all these things to come, but it's not all just up to God. How many know that you have a part to play? That God needs our permission and he needs our participation to usher his will into our lives. And sometimes the reason that we don't get the things we want is because we didn't really want them bad enough in life. Does that make sense? You know, my son, he wanted to play varsity basketball. And he just started learning basketball like, you know, a year ago. And that was like a big goal. You know, how you going to play varsity and you just started, you know, learning. And so when he came to me the year before, you know, he made the JV team and I started teaching him, you've got to learn defense and you've got to be the fastest thing on the court. You know, when it's time to get back on defense, you got to shoot and you got to get before, you know, everybody. In practice, when you're doing suicides, I know it feels like you're going to die, you're going to fall apart. But you got to run faster than everybody else. You've got to let the coach know that even though I might not have the skill set of everybody else, I want it bad enough. And if you just give me the opportunity, I'll get to where everybody else is. Does that make sense? And that's exactly what he did. He'd run faster. You got it. He'd try harder. One day he got in the car. I picked him up. You know, he just felt like, man, life is almost over. Jesus, come and come now. You got it. He was just wore out. But the thing about it was he kept going and he didn't give up. You know, his knees were just, you know, just feeling like they were just meshed. But the thing about it in life is if you're really going to get somewhere in life, if you're really going to succeed, if the marriage is going to be what you want it to be, if the kids are going to be what you want it to be, if you really want to get to where you're going in life, you've got to really want it. And if you really want it, how many know that you'll go after it, but you'll go after it God's way? Does that make sense? Everybody say, how bad do you want it? Yeah, how bad do you want it? When Lazarus died, Jesus shows up and he told them, roll the stone away. They looked at them like Jesus like he was crazy. You know, now Jesus was God come in the flesh. How many know that Jesus could have easily just rolled the stone away on his own? But he didn't want to do that. He wanted to see, how bad do you really want your brother back? When I showed up, you were crying. When I showed up, you were making excuses. When I showed up, you were putting it on me. Had you been here, my brother had not died. And then I say, roll the stone away. And the reason Jesus did it, he said, I want to know, how bad do you want it? And sometimes in life, God is not going to do anything in your life until you take the step or roll the stone away. Because when you make a move toward God, he'll make a move toward you. Are you understanding what this young preacher is talking about tonight? Everybody say, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want the marriage to work? Bad enough to bite your tongue when you feel like telling your spouse off? Bad enough to clean up a mess that you didn't make? Bad enough to say you're sorry because you know you're in this argument and they're not going to say sorry. And even though it's not your fault, you know that if you say sorry, it'll stop the argument. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want your children to stay on track? Bad enough to get them up early on Sunday mornings and bring them to church every Sunday? Bad enough to get them dressed on your day off, because Sunday's most of our days off, and get them here so they can attend kids ministry on time so that they can learn everything that they need to learn. Like, how bad do you really want your kids to be on track? See, we don't think twice about getting up early and getting ready for school in the week. Some parents have to have their children ready by 6 a.m. in the morning. You got it? And school is incredibly important, but I could argue that their spiritual life is even more important. Amen? When they grow up, And they've been coming to church and they've learned that, wait a minute, I know I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. I know that angels are on assignment. I know that all things are possible if I just believe. I know that God will never leave me or forsake me. Those are seeds that we are planting in your children today that are going to last them a lifetime. And when you bring them, you are setting the example that I put God first and him at the top of the list in my life. Everybody say, how bad do you want it? Do you want it bad enough to quit hanging out with people that cause you to compromise against God's word? Ooh, I'll just look at my lesson. I won't look up. See, God's not going to free you from people until you are willing to roll the stone away. And your destiny is too important to spend it with people that aren't trying to make you better. Your destiny is too important to spend it with people that are always bringing you down. Your destiny is too important to hang around people that won't push you to the next level, that won't check you when you're doing something you shouldn't do. You got it? Well, Pastor, what if I hurt their feelings? Well, what if you miss your destiny fooling with them? You got to make up your mind. Are you willing to roll the stone away so God can step in and do everything he wants to do? Or are you going just willing to let the stone stay there and watch your situation die? And let me just tell you, it takes discipline. Everybody say discipline. Man, it takes discipline to do the right thing. Y'all know that, right? Like, it takes discipline to, you know, to you hanging out with friends. You got it? You might be in high school. You may be in college. I mean, you might be an adult hanging out with friends, and they like to vape. You got it? And they like to smoke weed, and they like the hot box. You understand? And do all these things. It takes discipline to say, no, I'm not. You're like, what's hot box? I just learned myself. You got it? And so, but it takes discipline, you got it, to say, no, I'm not going to go that route. I'm going to go that route. It takes discipline, and you know, to look at somebody and say, hey, I'm not judging you, but I've made a serious commitment to Christ, and I'm just not going to do that. It takes discipline. You got it. Watch this. But I would rather have you discipline yourself and roll the stone away and make the right move, because later on, if you don't, you're going to regret it. Now, if you're tweeting, if you're gramming, if you're booking, make sure that you book this right. The pain of discipline is less than the pain of regret. Ooh, I could just stop right there and close my Bible and walk away. If you could really understand that the pain of discipline is less than the pain of regret. Because if you discipline yourself, there's going to be some pain that you have to go through, but you're going to get to your accomplished goal. You got it? If you don't discipline yourself, you will not get to where you're trying to go, and you'll have regret that you always have to live with because you never did the right thing. Oh, this young teacher, he's teaching up here this morning. Yes, he is. All right, so number one was turn your when into now. All right, everybody say number two. Number two, turn intentions into actions. Turn intentions into actions. James, the 4th chapter and the 17th verse says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is a sin for them. When I know what's right and I don't do what I know is right, the Bible says that it's a sin for me. So there's three things that I want you to focus on. There's three things I want you to focus on. All right, letter A. Everybody say letter A. Letter A, focus on power. What do you mean focus on power? Focus on the power of the Holy Spirit to help you, because he wants to lead you, he wants to guide you, he wants to help you. John the 14th chapter, verses 16 and 17, and then I'll read verses 25 and 26. Jesus is talking to them, he's telling them, you know, that, hey, I'm about to go away, but don't let your heart be troubled, I'm going to come back, you know, and those kind of things. And he's talking about, you know, but I'm going to leave, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit or the Helper. He says, and I will pray. That word, another word for pray is ask the Father, and he will give you another Helper that he may abide with you. How often, class? Forever. He says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Verse 25 says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. So the Holy Spirit is a teacher. That's why we need him in our lives. And bring to your remembrance all the things that I've said unto you. Now, John 15 and 26 is a parallel to that, or really the next chapter. But when the Helper comes, a continuation, not a parallel. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. Notice Jesus kept saying the Helper, the Helper, the Helper, all through John 14, John 15, John 16. In the KJV, it says Comforter, it's translated as helper in the Greek is parakletos, para meaning alongside, kletos meaning to walk. So Jesus says, I want to send somebody to walk alongside of you that will lead you and that will guide you. I want to send someone that's not only is he going to be with you, but he's going to be in you. And every time you're about to make a left and you shouldn't make a right, he'll tell you, make sure you go that way. You got it? Or if you're about to make a left and that's the right way, he says, yeah, go down that way. And so basically what he says is, I'm going to send somebody who's not only going to be with you, but he's going to be in you. He's going to lead you and he's going to guide you into all truth. He's always going to talk to you. You got it? And to the degree that you quiet all the noise around you to hear his voice, if you follow his voice, you'll always end up at the right place at the right time. Does that make sense? So you need the power of the Holy Spirit. Put it this way. I need the power of the Holy Spirit because I realize that I can't function without him. If I'm going to be a good father, I need the Holy Spirit. If I'm going to be a good husband, I need the Holy Spirit. If I'm going to be a good pastor, I need the Holy Spirit. So focus on power. All right, everybody say letter B. Letter B, focus on people, focus on people, focus on people in a positive, helpful way, not a gossiping, hurting way. Can I say it again? Focus on people in a positive, helpful way, not a gossiping, hurting way. I don't understand why everybody wants to hurt everybody. I don't understand why everybody just has to be better than everybody, why we have to compare ourselves and always feel like we have to compete with somebody. Matter of fact, Paul says when we do that, when we get into comparison, he says that we become unwise. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter and the 8th verse says, above all. Above what class? Okay, one more time. Above what class? He says above all means that there is a list and everything on the list is important. But above all of that, love each other. Love each other. Love each other deeply, because love, watch this now, covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. That means don't interfere. Would you like something? And you're hoping they say no. And they say, yeah, I'll take something. They know I didn't want to give them nothing. Well, you shouldn't have asked. And can I just put something else out there? Don't come to me trying to tattle on something that you heard about somebody else. Yeah, I ain't going no further till you clap. I'm just telling you. Not till I get a good clap. Can I go further? Don't call somebody. You got even another saint trying to tell them what you heard about somebody else because they got a problem, and you would never know they had a problem on the outside. But girl, I found out because so-and-so worked with so-and-so, and so-and-so told me that they heard so-and-so. Well, how'd they hear? Because they got a cousin that knows somebody, and her auntie told her, no, man. We got this principle of everybody, leave everybody alone. Leave them alone. Stay out of people's lives. You don't know what people are going through. You don't know that people are working through things. Yes, I'm not saying that person's perfect, and I'm not condoning anything that you might have heard, but have you ever thought about maybe it came across your path not to go gossip and run them down, but to stop and pray for them and say, God, I don't know what's going on in their life, but just help them. Give them the strength that they need to get over whatever it is that they're going through. You got it? You got it? I did not come all the way to New Bern. You got it. To hurt people. I came all the way to New Bern to help people. I came all the way to New Bern to help somebody live a better life. So focus on people, but focus on people the right way. All right, letter C. Everybody say letter C. Letter C, focus on your purpose. Focus on your purpose. Ephesians 2 and 10 in the Amplified says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, watch this now, planned beforehand for us. All right? So it's already laid out. I don't have to invent it. God already has my path laid out. To the degree I follow the Holy Spirit, he'll lead me right down that path. He says, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. But you're never going to get to the good life at the end if you don't do the stuff at the beginning, which you may do those good works that he planned beforehand. And so we are created to do good works in the earth and to impact people's lives in an amazing way. And you are never closer to the will of God than when you're impacting somebody's life in an amazing way. When you're bringing fresh air to someone who feels like the world is closing out on them. How many know you can't have the mentality, you know, me and my four and no more. So as long as we are right, I don't care about nobody else. How many know that you have to have the mentality that, God, I want you to bless everybody. I want you to help everybody. I want you to keep everybody. I don't just want my marriage to be all right. I want everybody's marriage to be all right. I don't just want my money to be all right. I want everybody's money to be all right. You got it? And it is our purpose in the earth. You got it? So many people, they spend so much time. Let's go home, Courtney. So many people, they spend so much time wondering, you know, what's God called me to? Well, you know, what's my calling? What's my calling? What's my calling? And a lot of times when they're asking that, they want to know what, you know, if there's a, you know, not everybody, you understand that, but a lot of times, you know, because we've been in church, we come up, you know, I need to have a title to make a difference. No, you don't. You don't need a title. You don't need a title, because the title that I use right now, and I thank God for it, but it's not what caused me to make a difference. It's the heart I have toward God and towards God's people that caused me to make a difference. And so God has caused everybody in this room, he's called everybody in this room to make a difference. He wants you to start at home. Make a difference at home. Make a difference in your neighborhood. Make a difference on your job. Does that make sense? and everything springs from there. So letter A, let's put it back up. Focus on power. Letter B, focus on people. Letter C, focus on your purpose. All right, those were under number two. Let me give you number three and we're going home. Did you get blessed today? All right, number three, turn your whole heart toward Jesus. Turn your whole heart. What did I say? Whole heart. There are many Christians that love God, you got it, but haven't turned their whole heart toward Him. See, when I turn my whole heart toward your God, this is what I'm doing. I'm saying, God, I'm yours, Lord. Everything I've got, everything I am, everything I'm not, I want you to make me. I want you to mold me. I want you to shape me into the person that you would have me to be. And God, not my will, but your will. Because, see, I got a will of my own, and sometimes my will wants to go left. You got it? And my will wants to do this, and my will wants to do that. But at the end of the day, God, I really don't want to do that. And so you got to totally commit to His way. How many know God allows U-turns? Yeah. Micah 7, 18 and 19, last scripture. He says, who is a God like you who pardons sin and forgives the transgressions of the remnant of His inheritance? You do not stay angry forever, but delight to show mercy. And I don't know about you, but that's enough to make me shout right there, because there's been times where I have messed up, and I'm so glad I found out that God doesn't stay angry forever, but He delights to show me mercy. Maybe you have never needed mercy in your life, but there's been plenty of times that I've needed mercy in my life, and I'm so thankful for God's amazing grace. He said, you will again have compassion on us. You will tread our sins underfoot and hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Just bow your heads and close your eyes right where you're sitting. And I just want you to ask, just talk to the Lord and just ask Him, Father, what are you saying to me in this lesson?